Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague, Michael Remus, and the Winnipeg Jets for the first time in a long time on home ice here put forth an effort that the fans applauded from start to finish in defeating the Detroit Red Wings by a 4-2 margin. Michael, coming in after Sunday's defeat at the hands of the Chicago Blackhawks, I think most Jets fans would have expected a similar result to what they saw on Sunday, given the Detroit Red Wings are known as one of the upper echelon teams in the NHL, much like the Chicago Blackhawks. Yet the Jets were able to, a Jets team that wasn't at full strength, I might add, with Evander Kane not playing tonight, with an undisclosed injury, the Jets were able to play with the Detroit Red Wings and really controlled the play for the majority of the game, so much so that the 4-2 margin almost flattered the Detroit Red Wings.
Right. I mean, if you look at the shots, it's 47-28 Jets.
And let me jump in there immediately. The shots aren't something that I usually look at because, you know, we always see right. Teams that are ahead. You know, teams that are losing tend to always throw more pucks on the net and everything else. But for tonight, it was emblematic of the pace of the play and who controlled the play that the Jets outshot the Wings by a 47-28 margin.
Right, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I mean, you remember weeks ago when the Jets got dominated here against Nashville, they had around, you know, 40-something shots, but they were all, junk shots from the outside that right. weren't high percentage scoring chances. Tonight, you know, the main reason why the game was so close, and, you know, 4-2 isn't the closest of the scores, but Jimmy Howard was phenomenal, and he flashed the glove just about everywhere around the crease and really kept the Red Wings in it the whole game.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Howard was really the reason why the score was as close as it was. But to the Jets' credit, they were able to stay with it. They got the first goal of the game, and they didn't, you know, they didn't fall back on bad habits after Detroit managed to take a 2-1 lead about halfway through the second period. To their Jets' credit, they showed some good perseverance and were able to come back and, after being down 2-1, score the last three goals of the game and ended up defeating the Red Wings by that 4-2 margin, as we mentioned. The Jets opened the scoring for the second straight game, something the team had a lot of trouble doing. They opened the scoring at the 19-minute mark of the second of the first period, rather. Brian Little gets the goal, assists to Devin Setoguchi and Andrew Ladd. Kyle Quincy blows a tire at the Jets' blue line. He's a Red Wings defenseman. Little comes in on a breakaway after he gets the puck chipped up to him, and he goes five-hole on Jimmy Howard. And after the Jets had put a lot of pressure on Howard for the entire first period, it takes a blown tire by a defenseman and a Brian Little breakaway before the Jets are able to get on the board, and they're up 1-0 after 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that was actually the second breakaway of the period for the Jets. Brian Little had a fantastic backhand pass earlier to set up Andrew Ladd for a breakaway. And, you know, halfway through the first, the Jets were dominating in shots 9-3 and totally out-chancing. And it was only a matter of time until they solved Jimmy Howard. Brian Little had a great game tonight. He was the third star. And the Jets really had all their lines working.
Absolutely. Al Montoya got the start in the Jets' goal tonight. And he played well. He played very well for the through the first period. And it was only a fluke goal at the 7:09 mark of the second period that got the Red Wings on the board. Henrik Zetterberg was streaking down the left-hand side. It was a pass intended for, I believe, Todd Bertuzzi. It deflects in off of Grant Clipsom's skate. Absolutely no chance for Al Montoya. One of those goals a team like Detroit tends to get because, you know, it tends to be that good teams have the puck bounce in their favor, and that was one of those instances where the Jets had been controlling the play for the most part. You know, Zetterberg down the left-hand side, hard pass off Clipsom in the net, 1-1 at that point in time, and you really thought, at least I thought, oh man, that could be a real backbreaker for the Jets, given how well they had played up to that point in the game.
Yeah, earlier in the first, it seemed like one of those games where the Jets outchanced their opponents, and they seemed so close. I mean, the rebounds are bouncing over the sticks or not going right to them, and it just felt like it would be the games where the Jets have all the chances and can't score, and then the opponent gets one chance, and then they're able to put it in. And that's really been, I think, a big problem for the Jets, is that they get all these scoring chances, but
we can't capitalize,
like we saw on Saturday with Chicago. And I thought Al Montoya played a great game. I agreed with giving him the start before. I think one thing that he brings to the Jets, you know, he minimized, other than, you know, his goaltending, which was fantastic tonight, his playing the puck, I think, he helped
Very aggressive.
There was two breakouts which led to, you know, great scoring chances off of an Al Montoya pass to, you know, a player at the opposing team's blue line. And then playing the puck is something that, you know, you rarely see Andrei Pavlik leave his crease. He doesn't go into the corners, like, you know, the deep corners like Montoya does. And it just added another element that teams that have to think about.
Yeah, Al Montoya was very aggressive coming out of the net to play the puck, like you mentioned. I actually enjoy that. He was very adept at puck handling. So you might as well use that. If it's a skill that you have in your arsenal, you should certainly use it. And he did use it to the Jets' advantage tonight. It was 1-1 at that point in time. 3 minutes later, a little less than 3 minutes later, Detroit takes a 2-1 lead on a shorthanded goal. The Jets' power play, again, woeful tonight. I believe they were 0-7 is how it ended up on the night. And not only 0-7, but they also gave up a power shorthanded goal. So that should tell you 0-8. 0-8 is what they were on the power play. They gave up a shorthanded goal as well, so you can even say that they were -1 when it comes to the power play. It was a goal. It was actually a very nice set play by the Red Wings. Steven Weiss wins the draw deep in the Jets zone, wins it right back to Nicholas Cronwall. Nicholas Cronwall at the left point, right across to Danny DeKeyser on the right point. DeKeyser with a one-timer, just an absolute bullet, rings it in off the post. Just a terrific shot, a terrific set play by the Detroit Red Wings. And I think you could excuse the fans at MTS Center if they say, great, you know, oh, here we go again. 2-1 Detroit, you know, similar to what happened in against Chicago on Sunday night, where the Jets took out the 1-0 lead. Detroit gets two quick goals to make it 2-1, and the, you know, here they go again. Detroit's going to come out and dominate. It's going to be another 4-1, 5-1 margin. But to the Jets' credit, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think on that goal, Andrew Ladd was trying to get some pressure on Danny DeKeyser, and I'm not, you know, you couldn't tell from the replay, but it might have been a screen by his own guy, Montoya. He was slow to react, which would lead me to believe he didn't see the puck the whole way.
Sure, not 100% sure. Didn't get a close look on the replay there, but it was certainly a bullet from DeKeyser.
Right.
A nice play all from the start. Clean. It starts with the clean win by Steven Weiss in the faceoff to Cronwall, to DeKeyser, and that's his first NHL goal for the defenseman for the Red Wings, who they have a lot of high hope for. To their Jets' credit, 7 minutes later, almost 7 minutes exactly, it was 6 minutes and 59 seconds, the Jets tie the game at two goals apiece.
Wait, just go back. You forgot about the Datsyuk no goal, which could have been a huge turning point in the game.
Pavel Datsyuk was jamming the puck at the side of the Jets' net, next to Al Montoya. And when you got a guy like Pavel Datsyuk, he's not known for being much of an offensive threat. You want to give him three chances to stuff the puck past your goalie. On the third chance, he was successful in doing so. But fortunately for the Jets, the net had been pushed slightly off of its moorings. The ref said no goal to the end. I mean, that really was probably a TSN turning point, because if Detroit goes up 3-1 at that point in time, I have trouble believing the Jets come back in this game. That was sort of their, you know, if the Jets are allowed one mental miscue each game, that was it, giving Datsyuk those three chances to jam the puck in where nobody touched him.
There was it. And there was another play, I believe it was in the, sorry, wasn't it? I think it might have been in that second period when Bufflin blew a tire, a second fall of the game at the blue line, and Steven Weiss had a breakaway with Montoya, and Montoya turned that one away. So Montoya was great when they needed to. I mean, that was an easy call for the ref, so it was no goal. He did push that up. But when you have Datsyuk going one-on-one with the goalie, it's a scary moment for
you.
Jets
expect
fans.
Datsyuk to score on that more often than not, so the Jets were fortunate. But as I mentioned, they tied it up at the 17:04 mark of the second period. Mark Scheifele played probably the best game he's played this season, I would say.
Yes.
He was the most noticeable, one of the most noticeable Jets on the ice. He was the first star in tonight's game, ending up with two assists on the game. He was really a good player in this game, which is very refreshing to see for Jets fans. He comes in down the right wing of the Red Wings, feathers a pass very neatly through to Michael Frolik. Michael Frolik waits out Jimmy Howard, who's out of position, and he's got an empty net there. And Frolik makes no mistake. Both of the defensemen have sort of come over to Scheifele to play him, leaving Frolik open to make that to really have nobody around him. Puts it in the net, and it's a two-all game at the end of 40 minutes.
Yeah, and if you watch this in slow motion, it's a pretty unbelievable play by Scheifele. He has the defenseman who's parallel with him, and he waits that extra second. And as the defenseman, you know, turns his feet to go face him, mm-hmm. he slips the puck, you know, slides it between the defenseman's legs right to Frolik. I mean, it was this close from going off the defenseman's skate and, you know, in the corner, but it was
harmless.
Great vision by Scheifele, and yeah, he did have one of his...
A glimpse of the creativity and the playmaking skills that the team expects to have, or why they drafted him, you know, seventh overall a couple years ago. And, you know, you can point to that play. Maybe that's the play that gets Mark Scheifele going or gets him more comfortable saying, hey, I did this against the Detroit Red Wings. You know, I can do this. I can play in this league. Now he's still too small and everything else. But, you know, not strong enough, really, more than being too small. But maybe that gives him a little bit of a boost, the knowledge that he has the creativity and he has the ability to play in this league.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game for Scheifele, and it was a great game for a lot of the Jets. I thought Ladd, Little, Frolik, Scheifele, Halaschuk on the forwards all had great games, and you know, hopefully this is the game that can propel Scheifele and the Jets forward to more wins. And that was not a pun with propel there.
Very nicely done. At the end of 40 minutes, it was 2-2, as I mentioned. At the 4:27 mark of the third period, Matt Halaschuk gets his first goal as a Winnipeg Jet. It comes from after some great work down low in behind the Red Wings net by both Michael Frolik and Mark Scheifele. They're grinding down low. I don't know what the Detroit players were thinking, really. They had four guys almost below the goal crease to try and getting that puck. They leave Matt Halaschuk untended in front of the net. You tweeted out a picture of it. You screen capped the video, the TV coverage of it, and so you took a picture. You see the four Red Wings below the goal line, below the goal crease, Matt Halaschuk all alone. Puck comes out to him. He rifles it past Jimmy Howard, and the Jets have a 3-2 lead. Just a defensive breakdown, a defensive miscue by the Detroit Red Wings that you don't often see from a Mike Babcock coach team.
Right, and I think Matt Halaschuk's played great for the Jets. I mean, he brings exactly what they need on the third line. He brings energy. He gets pucks to the net and makes the simple, smart plays. And it makes me wonder why he didn't start on the Jets, you know, the first few games, you know, maybe they were getting him used to the organization, but, you know, the last few games, he's been a very great addition to the third line.
Well, if the Jets can get their third line going consistently and get some offense out of it, like they did tonight, then that's just a bonus, because you got to remember, the Jets played without Evander Kane, who's, you know, their best goal scorer in my books, best pure goal scorer, played without him tonight, and they were still able to put up four goals, and this is a team that's been relatively offensively challenged the last little while. The Jets wrapped up the scoring at the 10:57 mark of the third period. They made it 4-2 on an Andrew Ladd goal. Devin Setoguchi comes into the Red Wings zone, takes a good shot at Howard. The rebound sort of lands in front of him. He can't cover it up that quickly, and Andrew Ladd with a garbage goal going to the dirty areas, as they say, in front of the net, pushes it between Jimmy Howard's pads, and the Jets have a 4-2 lead, and they ended up winning by that 4-2 margin.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see Andrew Ladd do. Brian Little takes the shot. He goes in. Setoguchi goes in and battles for the rebound and puts it home. And that's what you want to see. And the Jets showed all that kind of fight from everyone tonight. And that's what they should be playing like every night. And this was a great win. And at the end of the game, I mean, everyone's on their feet for the last minute. And we haven't seen that atmosphere that very often this season at the MTS.
Sure, the Jets haven't played that well at home, so it makes sense why you haven't seen that atmosphere. It was nice to see. From the Red Wings' perspective, I thought they were half a step slow tonight. Sort of understandable. They're at the end of their Western Canadian road trip that saw them go to Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton and end here in Winnipeg. So maybe you can sort of understand why they were sleeping a little bit, thinking maybe they don't need to give the full effort against the Jets, or maybe they just didn't have anything left in the tank as they're on their way back home to Detroit to wrap up the road trip. But, you know, full marks for the Jets, and they, you know, for better or worse, the Western Conference continues their dominance over their Eastern Conference as the Jets defeat the Detroit Red Wings by a 4-2 margin here at MTS Center. The Jets are next in action Wednesday night in Chicago. That game available on TSN National, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's the national broadcast on TSN. The Jets look for some sort of revenge after the 5-1 pasting that the Blackhawks handed to them on Saturday afternoon here at MTS Center. Next at home Friday against the Nashville Predators, two division games in a row. So if the Jets want to build on tonight's victory, it would be a very good time to start Wednesday in Chicago and Friday back here in Nashville. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com for post-game audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Detroit Red Wings dressing room. A reminder that NHL Midweek on TSN 1290 is at a special day tomorrow, Tuesday, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're joined by Rick Peckham, play-by-play man of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Tyson Nash, color commentator for the Phoenix Coyotes. For Michael Remus, for Dave Manuk, who's doing fabulous work on IllegalCurve.com, and for Ezra Ginsberg, who's currently getting audio from the Detroit Red Wings dressing room, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.